the legislative hotline for you this morning. We do have 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick joining us today, but 7th District Senator Shelley Short not able to make it. But we do have a special guest in her place this morning. That would be 20th District State Senator John Braun, who's the majority leader of the caucus there in Olympia on the Senate side. Looking forward to chatting with him this morning along with Judy. And John, Judy, I appreciate the time very much. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk a lot about the budget this morning. Let's get this out of the way first, though. Fiscal cutoffs are coming up next Tuesday. So, John, Judy, can you explain what that means exactly?
Well, that means that if the bill is not out of the fiscal committee, the Ways and Means or Transportation, even if it has something to do with the budget, it likely is dead. Now, I always say it's not dead until Sine die, but that's a cutoff to get the bills out of those committees.
All right. So it's, again, a maneuver to try and, again, push activity further toward the finish line, which is coming up here in less than a month now to go. So the sessions, needless to say, in some ways, I'm sure have grinded, as always, for a lot of you, but in others have flown by. And it's crunch time, especially with the budget in mind. And that's what we're going to talk about largely today. So a lot of activity with that. I know we want to talk about Governor Ferguson's reaction, saying that he isn't going to sign off on either of the budgets that have been passed thus far and put before him potentially. So where are we at in the budgeting process right now? And we can get to information about this from both of you then.
Well, at this point, both the majorities in the House and the Senate have released their budget. They've passed it out of the fiscal committee in the Senate. That's Ways and Means. And they've passed it off the floor. We spent several hours last Saturday debating the Senate Democratic budget, and we offered an alternative that balanced without new taxes, didn't have some of the hard, you know, very difficult cuts their budget did, didn't have all the spending. It just showed more restraint, more reasonable, I think, path on spending, and allowed us to live within our means. Unfortunately, we still have the votes to prevail, although a couple of the members of the Democratic Party did vote against their own budget. And the House passed their budget back to the Senate, I think, Monday. So now I expect they'll go into what they call conference in the next day or so, which is basically assigns a few members of each chamber to go work together to come up with a agreed-upon budget. You know, the real challenge in that is, one, you know, this they rely on an enormous amount of new taxes, and the governor, as you mentioned, has pushed back pretty hard on at least one of those and possibly more.
All right. And Judy, anything to add on that note?
Well, yeah, we've, you know, we had in Ways and Means a hearing on all the tax proposals that came up. There were five major ones. The one that I'm most concerned about is the property tax bill. That is 5798. We had 44,000 people sign up in opposition to that bill. They signed up online. We had about 300 people that testified that night. It took a long time to get through that hearing, but 44,000 people are opposed to the increase in property tax. So, and these were just regular people that testified. I think about this one older gentleman and his wife. They talked about, we're going to be taxed out of our home. That's the fear out there, that people are going to be taxed out of their homes if the property tax bill goes through as proposed. So a lot of concerns out there.
Again, chatting with... go ahead, John.
I just say there's a number of bad taxes, but I couldn't agree more with Judy. This property tax is super hard on folks who are already struggling with the cost of housing across our state. It's a bad idea. And frankly, I think also important to note that it goes against the 1% limit put in place by both the people over 20 years ago.
Very good. Again, 20th District State Senator John Braun with us today. Special guest filling in for Senator Shelley Short, who couldn't make the program, along with the 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick today on our KPQ Legislative Hotline. John, Judy, let's talk about, I guess, the elephant in the room, even though it's not really the case because the governor is a Democrat. But, you know, his words, his commentary about the budget and really kind of keeping his promise, I guess, not to sign off on things that would include new revenues for the state. He's expressly concerned. We heard his remarks yesterday from the Capitol, had them on our news broadcasts here. And it seems like he's going to stand firm and not sign anything that he doesn't feel is good for Washingtonians moving forward. So as far as his personal stake, I guess, or his role in the stalemate that's going on right now, if we can call it that at this point, what do you see happening there? Do you think he's going to budge at all on anything that you do with the budget at this point?
Well, I mean, I think it was very helpful that he made public or more public and more explicit his concerns about the very large budgets proposed by the majorities and the very large set of taxes they proposed. I think he had said something earlier in the session, and I think there was a lot of question about whether he would stick to that. And he came out pretty strong against the wealth tax because of legal concerns. He pushed back on other taxes. He didn't close the door entirely, which worries me still. But I do appreciate that he tightened down the box a fair amount. I think the most important thing he has said before and he continues to say is that he doesn't want to have this happen. He won't have to deal with this problem in the future. Of course, there's no way to guarantee that. But one guarantee that he will have to do it is if they solve this deficit with taxes and additional spending. That's just a recipe for the same challenges we have this year. So, I mean, he's stuck true to what he said. And it's not everything we would like as Republicans, but it certainly is a step in the right direction.
And I agree with that. You know, he told us when he meets with us as leaders privately that he wasn't going to do this. And his first speech of the session, he's not going to sign a budget that increases taxes. So, you know, sometimes people in this position have to take a hard look at their promises and how it's going to work. But he's been very willing to work with us. I had a question yesterday. Well, if he doesn't sign their budget, can we get out of here by the end of April? That is a huge goal of the Senate leadership on this side, is to get out by the end of April. If they took our budget that we proposed, we could do it. We could get out without raising taxes. So we've given that budget to the governor, and I hope he takes a strong look at it as well.
So I know another thing that the governor said in his remarks yesterday or earlier in the week, I guess it was now, that was kind of interesting was that he also did not want to see either of the budgets touch the rainy day fund. And I'm not sure how much that's actually happened over the course of recent budgets, but it's something that he wants to see avoided. So I guess with that in mind, has that happened recently? And is there any proposals to do so with this budget that's before him now?
It's kind of a mixed bag. The budget we proposed does not take any money out of the rainy day fund. Actually, the budget the House Democrats proposed does not take any money out of the rainy day fund. The budget proposed by the Senate Democrats essentially drains it in this current year. And this has happened before on a couple of occasions. Clear back in 2018, the Democratic majorities used kind of a budget trick to not drain it, but take a significant, I think it was $500 million out of the rainy day fund without a supermajority, which shouldn't be able to happen. They used a very arcane maneuver. They essentially found a loophole in the law. That's since been closed, thankfully. And then during the pandemic, they did something that we disagreed with strongly, is they, because it was an emergency, they could take money out with a simple majority. They did that. They didn't spend it all. They just took it all out and put it in a kind of a pretend rainy day fund that they could get to in the future with a simple majority. And they spent most of that money actually just in the last 2 years. And that's part of the reason we're in the problem we are. They took that money as one-time money and spent it on ongoing stuff. And so they bought things that have ongoing bill, and we don't have the money to pay for it. So this has been tried in the past. It's caused additional problems. I don't often agree with the House Democrats, but on this issue, Senate Republicans and House Democrats are on the right side of the page and in line with the governor and not using the rainy day fund.
And the treasurer, who is a Democrat, also strongly advises against taking money out of that fund because it is there, kind of like a family savings account. And even the Democrat treasurer said, don't take the money out of that fund.
Again, chatting with 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick. She's alongside special guest 20th District State Senator John Braun, joining us this morning here on the KPQ Legislative Hotline during the morning update on this Thursday, the 3rd of April. So I know both of you have been in the legislature for at least 10 years. John, I believe you're 12 now there. And Judy, you're into your 10th or 11th year since 2015. So you've seen many of these budget proceedings come and go. What does this one look like, or where does it stack up, would you say, based on its level of requirement to get through these hurdles to get passed? Again, I know, Judy, you just mentioned getting out on time, and that possibility of a special session is looming larger and larger every day, especially with the fact that there's so much of a stalemate, it seems, on these budget proposals. So where does this rank as far as previous years are concerned with not being able to move forward at this point, at least in the game, as far as the budgets are concerned?
Well, it ranks right up there with the amount of taxes that they're asking people to pay. Businesses, banks, now individuals with the property tax. So it ranks right up there. This is the largest ever tax increase with all these additional bills. I am very, very concerned, because I think we've proven that we don't need to have that much additional spending authority is what they're basically asking for. But as far as getting out, it's hard to know. We're, 3.5 weeks away?
Yeah.
So it's always a little bit anxious at this point whether we're going to be done in time.
Yeah, I put it pretty much at the top, certainly since the Republicans lost the majority in the Senate. And when we had the majority, we often went into overtime because of the large disagreements between Republicans and the House. And nobody wants to go into special session. It's not fun for anyone. But frankly, if it's a choice between going into special session or laying billions of dollars in new taxes, particularly the property tax, at the feet of the share of the taxpayers, I'll take special session. I think there is clearly a path to get done on time. With a good, responsible budget that shows restraint and ideally has no taxes, but certainly much less than the $21 billion proposed by the Senate group Democrats. But I think the odds of going to special session, frankly, are as high as they've been in a number of years. And while I don't relish the idea, if it's the path to keep the tax bill low for Washingtonians, I think it's worth it.
All right. Well, with that,
we need to do our job.
Yeah, for sure. So with that in mind, then what is the next step then in this process? What's the next thing that's going to happen with the budgets?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of posturing by both the majority in the House and the Senate. It's not clear to me. I mean, I'm pretty confident the governor talked to the majority leaders before he had his press conference on Tuesday, and they knew that was coming. That doesn't mean they liked it. I think the next, and it's kind of in their court. Are they going to, try to push back and pass something that he has said he won't sign, in which case we're almost certainly into a special session? Are they going to try and regroup? And they're kind of in a little bit of a box, because especially from the Senate Democratic budget, it's hard to take that budget and get to the point that the governor's is indicating in terms of spending and lowering the tax bill. So they're going to really have to think about it. The other thing that is going on this year that's a little unique is the combination of operating and transportation and capital budget. In the proposal, they do one thing that the Senate Republicans have looked for a number of years, which is move some operating money to the transportation budget to shore that up. Unfortunately, it's tied to these huge tax increases. So it's not everything. It's not something we can support because of the way they did it, but it's a step in the at least they're getting used to the idea. Hopefully that means progress in the future. And then they also took a big chunk of money to pay for culverts. You may remember the culvert judgment from several years ago that we have to fix culverts to allow fish passage. That's been a real burden for transportation, and this budget proposes moving it to capital budget. So there's a lot of intricacy between all three budgets, more than we've seen in previous years.
So another,
I'd like to add on the capital budget, that is the one bipartisan budget that we've seen come out so far. The Senate budget's balanced. It leaves a healthy ending fund balance, even with the addition of the culvert money. When I was still in the House, we talked about that. So that's been an issue that's been hanging around for a long time, and it's a court case, so we have to address it. But it's going to be expensive, and I think with some of the bills that are coming out about that, we'll be able to do that in a reasonable manner, too. But proud of our capital budget team.
All right, very good. Again, 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick alongside special guest 20th District State Senator John Braun joining us today here on the KPQ Legislative Hotline as part of the morning update for this 3rd of April, 2025. John, Judy, I appreciate the time very much. Thanks for all the hard work you're doing over there in Olympia on behalf of your constituents and the residents in the state. And we'll look forward to future chats, I know, with you, Judy, and perhaps again in the future with you as well, John. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for having me on.